Welcome to today's sermon. This is Mike Adams, and I am inserting a special sermon here because of current events. Even though this is an evergreen topic, as of the day I'm recording this, the U.S. stock market is in a state of panic and collapse. The Japanese stock market is cratering. Stocks are down, bonds are down, crypto is down, and people are unable to log into the online brokerage accounts. Most of the brokerages are down, or at least some significant portion of them are down, and that's only adding to the panic where people can't log in and access and sell their virtual money. And so, of course, we're going to bring in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is a real key phrase here. Again, many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That's a very familiar quote, I think, to a lot of people. People say money is the root of all evil, but actually what it says here in the scripture is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so what's the lesson here today? When you have all these people panicking over their falling stocks, well, what's actually falling? What's falling? Numbers on a screen that are not even real. It's virtual. It's a rigged game. And the dollar is rigged anyway, even though you might have stocks and you log in and maybe you see your bank account on a screen, or you see stocks on a screen, and all the numbers that you see, they're not real, are they? They're not real until you sell those for some kind of currency, which is usually the dollar. And then the dollar is also fake in the sense that it's counterfeit, that it can be printed into oblivion, and that the government effectively loots from the people by printing money and using it to fund their favorite projects, or to fund weapons and bombs, or to fund other nations. And this is effectively a form of theft, stealing from the people. And then only when you trade that currency for something real does it become real. For example, when you buy a washing machine, or if you buy a home with it, or if you buy a piece of land with it, and so on. That's the only time it becomes real. So when people are panicking over the virtual money in their stock account, or especially if they can't log in, they are very often, many people are caught up in this spiral that we are warned about in 1 Timothy verse 6. If we worship money, if we fall into the temptation of money and the material things that it can buy, then we may have our priorities out of balance. And I know that if you're hurting in the stock market right now, perhaps you don't want to be lectured to about morality at the moment, because perhaps you're thinking, well, gosh, you know, I earned this money and I put that money into the stock market to try to let it work for me. This is a common phrase here. I want my money to work for me. And then now it's disappearing and you know, I'm being robbed. I'm being cheated. Yes, you are, because the stock market is man's con game. God's money is gold and silver. Real money is money created by God, which is the table of elements. As I've said before, the table of elements is an expression of the mind of God expressed through the laws of atomic physics. And atomic physics is what determines the properties of gold and silver and copper and platinum and other elements, obviously. And since gold cannot be counterfeited by man, and gold has intrinsic properties and value, and gold is inherently desirable by people and also has inherent scarcity because there's only a certain amount of it on or in our planet at any given time, gold meets all the definitions of real money. So does silver as well. Currency, that is dollars, meets none of them, none of the properties of money. In other words, a store of value and something that cannot be counterfeited by some, you know, government authority. If it can be counterfeited, it's not money. It's not, doesn't qualify. And by the way, when people say, well, I want my money to work for me, that's also a deception that's rooted in the beast system. Did you know that, let's say, in decades ago, if you took, let's say 1971, when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, in 1971, if you had had an ounce of gold, which was $35 at that time, and then in one hand you had an ounce of gold, and then in the other hand you had $35, and then if you had buried the ounce of gold in the ground versus if you had taken that $35 and invested it in the stock market at that time, like an index fund, then fast forward to today, which one would be worth more? Would it be the gold, or would it be the $35 invested in the stock market and held in the market over time? Which would have been worth more? The answer is, unless you were some kind of a genius investor, the gold would be worth more. And on top of that, you don't have to manage it. And you don't have to give up custody to someone else. Because if you're sitting on gold, it's in your custody. No one can take it from you. And it can't be brought down by a cyber attack or an IT problem or an internet outage. You know, your so-called dollars or your investments in an online brokerage, the minute the power grid goes down or the minute the internet goes down or the minute Amazon services goes down, all those investments vanish. They're no longer even reachable. You can't even log in and see them. But if you have God's money, which is gold and silver, you can go look at it. You can touch it. You can weigh it. You know, unless you've hidden it so well that you can't necessarily get to it. But if it's hidden that well, it's also very secure. Nobody else is messing with it either. So understand the difference between God's money and mankind's money, because I've spoken in previous sermons about God's economy versus mankind's economy. Now, God's economy is rooted in abundance and a multiplication of what you put into it. You put effort and time into God's economy, such as, for example, growing plants that create natural medicines, then God makes sure that through the power of Mother Nature, that those natural medicines are replenished or given back to you as a multiple of what you put in. That's God's economy. In mankind's economy, it's a Ponzi scheme where everybody might think they're getting rich if they're buying the right stocks, you know, the right tech stocks or the right AI stocks or whatever the case may be, the fad for the moment. But in reality, it's all just illusion, because nobody actually has all that wealth unless everybody decides to sell. And if everybody decides to sell that stock, then the stock value collapses and all that apparent wealth is actually gone. So it's all rooted in illusion and deception in mankind's economy. Now, there's an even bigger question about all of this, which is, of course, stated in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. The love of money, or the worship of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. Think about the people you know who are entirely focused on gathering more financial wealth at the expense of other areas of their life where they have lost balance. Because we all have to make choices about where we focus our energies. The people who focus on money, they tend to abandon the other areas of their life that matter: personal improvement, personal health, family life, you know, contributing to society in meaningful ways, more than just writing a check, for example. And if you were to ask these people, like, so why is money so important to you? And they might say, well, I want to use the money to buy these nice things. I want to live in a nice house. I want to live in a state of luxury. I want to be able to have vacations, or I want to have, you know, boats or luxury cars or all kinds of things. Or maybe I just want to retire and not work, right? But for a lot of those people, they want wealth because they want to use it to acquire the things that make them feel superior to others around them. They want to have a bigger house than the house that the Joneses have, you know, to use that phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. They want to have a bigger car. They want to have a more luxurious lifestyle. They want to have, you know, more jewelry or more, you know, personal luxury items. They just want to have more stuff. But if you ask them, well, what's the plan, you know, with this stuff? What's the point? What's the end game here? Ultimately, what a lot of people who focus on money will tell you, even though it's false, is that they think that with enough material goods surrounding them, with enough luxury, that they will be happy. They think that money can buy happiness. And you and I both know that's absolute illusion. And you can even find this to be true in your own life. If you think about the moments of the greatest joy that you've experienced in your life, were those associated with money? Probably not, I'm guessing, because you're probably the kind of person who is a high integrity person, a high quality person, who's not a shallow person. Now, for shallow people, you know, winning the lottery could be the happiest day of their life until they find out how much tax they have to pay on the lottery winnings. And they find out that then everybody in their life is asking them for money because they think they're millionaires now. And, you know, a lot of people who win the lottery, their lives are completely destroyed. But you're not that kind of a shallow person. And so probably the happiest moments in your life are things that are not related to just acquiring money. Rather, personal achievements, or maybe with family, time with your children or grandchildren, or some kind of spiritual victory that you achieved in your life, or some kind of accomplishment, like, you know, graduating from you know, business school or something, or getting your law license, or getting your medical license, or whatever. Lots of areas of achievement that are not directly driven by just money in your hand. So money actually isn't the thing, of course, that buys us happiness, but it's a persistent delusion in our culture because our culture is so strongly driven by material goods. That, oh, you have to have the best iPhone, which is $1,000 plus these days, I think. You have to have the best iPhone to be okay as a person, or you have to wear the best, you know, brand name blue jeans or high heels, or you have to have the fashion purse, or you know. So the real value in money, real money, should be a store of value so that when you do work and when you contribute to society, then you are able to receive the product of your labor and you are able to store that for a future time. You may wish to retire someday, or maybe you're already retired and then you need to live off the money you previously earned. Or you may wish to give money to others, including perhaps your own children or grandchildren, without that money losing value. So a store of wealth is the single most important property of money. And if you are earning and keeping and storing money, there's no evil in that. There's no judgment from God in that. That's simply fairness, honesty. You worked for perhaps decades, you earned money, you should be able to save it without losing it. If that's your goal, then the answer, again, is God's money. It's, you know, gold and silver as stores of value, and staying out of man's synthetic Ponzi scheme system, which will only cause you suffering and pain. How many people, through all the stock market crashes that we've experienced in the U.S., not to mention currency collapses around the world, how many people have lost everything? They lost a lifetime of earnings because they trusted in man's system. And man's system is the beast system, and it will turn against you because it's designed to fleece the investors and to steal productivity from you by printing more money. So even though you might be paid in dollars, if you are truly a person who follows the teachings of Christ and God, then you would want to get out of those dollars as rapidly as possible and get into some form of preserving assets or some form of investing into perhaps the local community or perhaps your own business or perhaps a startup that can contribute to society. You don't want to stay in the beast system. and the banks answer to the beast, and the Federal Reserve is part of the beast, and the money printing is looting and stealing from you. The dollar is not an honest money system because it can be counterfeited at any time, and thus chasing dollars is not only a fool's errand, it's guaranteed to bring you sorrow because you're chasing something that never holds value. You're chasing something that is diminishing at all times. So instead of chasing dollars, think about the spiritual priorities in your life where you actually can find happiness without requiring dollars to be in the mix. Could that be in investing in your own personal health, your own time for fitness or exercise, or more time with family members, or more time to learn other things that bring you joy? What brings you real joy in your life? Is it your child? Is it your spouse? Is it your faith? You know, is it cooking? Is it gardening? What brings you joy? Put your investments into those things and don't be seduced by the promise of easy returns in the beast system stock market or bond market or treasury market, because all those things are based on a fraudulent currency that will ultimately collapse. Remember, God's economy brings you abundance. Mankind's economy brings you nothing but pain and sorrow. So stay invested in God's economy and you will reap the rewards over time, maybe not in, you know, material goods and dollar things, but you will reap rewards that count for a lot more spiritually and morally. And thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams, and we've got 100 sermons coming your way. You can find the rest of them at the same location where you found this sermon. God bless you all. Thank you for listening.